Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Is women think an observation is a direct order. That's the whole problem. They speak like when a woman says it's really cold in here, they expect us to be like, what makes cold? And then we solve a riddle. It's literally a riddle. It's a code. It's cold in here. It's like, that's not how men think. We can never think like that. If we start acting like that, things go horribly bad. I had a pretty good day. You want me to kill your boss? We have no idea. Because men don't talk like that. We talk very directly, task-oriented, problem, solution, blowjob. That's how we think.
Owen Benjamin on the Adam Carolla Show.
Owen in studio. Thanks to Stamps.com for this half of the show, and TrueCar, and SimpliSafe. You know what to do. TrueCar.com, SimpliSafe.com/Adam, and Stamps.com as well. Enter Adam. Yeah, I've talked about in previous shows where I get into trouble because when I say to my wife or my nanny, what time are you leaving for the studio? And they go, first I have to unload the dishwasher. And I go, what time are you leaving the studio? And they go, stop being a dick.
Hold
and
on.
I go, just shout out a number. Because that's how guys are.
Yeah. No, totally. They're like, because women talk in implications and like a lot of subtext, and men do not pick up on that. Mm. Like if me and my wife go to like a friend's party, and the wife is like, "Oh, you didn't bring any wine? That's fine. Come on in."
Right.
And I'm like, "Sweet." My wife's like, "She's miserable. She's so sad.
She hates us.
She hates everybody." I'm like, "You guys are weirdos."
I'm also super naive because I now realize when Joe Coy pointed out to me that the woman at La Cabanita had no idea who Joe Coy was. When I said, do you know who Joe Coy? Do you know the name Joe Coy? Do you know Joe Coy? And they went, yeah, I know the name. Like,
yeah.
I realized, no, she's just being
blow off.
Being polite.
She thinks a friend of mine. I don't think that way. It's just if she said, I know the name, then I walk out of there thinking she knows the name.
Yeah, I think it's hunter versus gatherer.
I'm a humper versus
You're a
gatherer.
Humper. Nice.
Yeah, I don't even like hunting anymore. I just hump.
You just hump?
Well, they gather.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You gather your thoughts.
I'll be back here humping.
Gather your undergarments, and I'll just be here.
No, I gather. Like, I pick berries.
Yeah.
I'm not against that. And you make small talk with the berries. I just think women are more like socialist and men are more capitalist, where it's like women support the weak. You know, like if one girl's having a bad night, it's like, oh, Tina's sad. Let's lick her tears. And then it's all about the sad one.
Right.
Where men will cut the weak, you know, where it's like he's being a buzzkill. Like, let him go.
Wow.
You know, but the opposite's true, though, because women, you know, men will be like, he's fastest. Make him captain. And women are like, she's prettiest. Tell everybody she has herpes. You know, it's they want it all around one level because that's the gatherer.
The difference, I think, I mean, if you want to just to really distill it down to its core is, if a woman is out with her friends and she drinks too much and she passes out, there's going to be a lot of debate of whether they should call 911 or who's going to drive her to the emergency room, or we got to get her hydrated or whatever that is. And the guy's discussion is going to revolve around who's got a Sharpie so
exactly,
we draw a cock on the guy's forehead. That we literally think of things to do to the person who could have died by inhaling their own vomit.
Oh, this is a situation to take advantage of.
Kick them while they're down.
I've actually thought about the fact that
kick them when they're down is one of the things that comes up. kick them.
Thousands of guys must have been brought into emergency rooms with cocks on their forehead.
There's people in morgues.
Who later died of alcohol poisoning, and when their family
had the open casket?
No.
There's not enough rubbing alcohol in the world.
No, for that, there was just like a red outline of a cock.
Scrubbed it.
Guy took nail polish remover and his shirt tail and cleaned it, but at the morgue, that's evidence.
I mean,
when they go into the morgue, like in the hospital, and the mom has to come in
open
and identify the remains of the
Tommy.
Yeah.
Yes, that's there's looks, a cock on.
It looks just like him, except for one major difference.
That's right. He has a smaller dick down below.
Is it also, it depends how many dicks are. Is it one big dick or like a bunch of little wieners?
There's the usually the big. If you go on your belly, it's a big dick on the back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
If you fall asleep on your back, then it's a small dick on your forehead.
Yeah,
right. Or whatever your forehead will accommodate.
Okay.
Then we'd have guys fall asleep and or pass out at a party, and you just keep like piling like cigarette butts on top of them and duct tape them to the chair.
I still have cherished pictures of that from college.
Lots of pictures of your guys with their pants down, dangling balls on their head, like taking a picture. That guy could be dead or going into cardiac arrest. That's how we are.
And you're leaving a trail of evidence and you don't care.
And it's how you show friendship too. If I passed out and woke up and I didn't have a dick on my face, I'd be like,
you guys don't like me anymore.
You don't trust me.
Has everyone in this room, maybe Gina included, have we all had penises drawn on us?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And done the drawing, of course, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're like Owen said, you're still friends. One of the guys who drew, I think maybe the first penis on my face in college, yes, it's been multiple. I went to his house yesterday for the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I was so good friends with the guy.
When I pee in snow, it's always a wiener. Like, it's never just a pee. And I live where it's very snowy and I pee outside a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always like, all right, let's make sure we have enough pee to get that big ween going.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why not? Why would we not do that?
Pee a wiener. Yeah.
You got to pee that wiener.
Yeah.
And you run out before you hit both balls, but you can tell what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know who draws a great cock and balls? Jimmy Kimmel. Mm. He's excellent. He's an artist, so he's got that flair, but he also, you can tell, he's got a lot of rap.
Is there like anything a man can't do?
No.
It's muscle memory.
So in that vein of men versus women, you're welcome. So if a girl blacks out, or if a dude blacks out and they're left in the other room, you guys all don't go into the other room and discuss whether or not they have a problem?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
No.
All right.
Like in the town I live, you have a problem if you don't drink till you pass out.
Got
it's like,
it.
What's going on with this guy? Did he kill a guy?
Yeah.
Intervention.
Yeah.
Your penis drawing hurts me in the following ways.
Yeah. It's like, why don't you drink anymore, man? What happened to you? Did you get drunk and kill a guy?
Used to be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and what town do you live in?
Saranac Lake, New York, like right next to Lake Placid up in the Adirondack Mountains.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, cold. -20. That's why coming here this week was rough, you know, because it's just so beautiful here right now, and it's so cold where I am.
The special, by the way, Feed the Bear, is available now on his website, and I'll give that out, which is hugepianist.com, which you do play, you're classically trained, right?
Yeah.
Huge pianist.
I'm 6'7", and I play classical piano. There's no other reason why I called it that.
Okay.
So you can go there and find out a bunch of tour dates and things as well. All right, so we were going to, it's a good time to do this, because Brian, I think at some point announced last week or so that he could definitely tell the difference between a Bud Light, a Miller Light, and a Coors Light.
It came from a news story about how Miller was no longer the king of beers. And I said, well, who gives a shit, because you can't tell the difference between a Miller, a Bud, and a Coors anyway. And Brian piped up, I can.
Yeah.
At least Miller Light, Bud Light, and Coors Light, I can certainly tell the difference.
So we wanted to put it to the test.
I think. Spent all day yesterday in craft beers. I ruined my palate.
I don't know that I can, but it's for me, it's like one of those good first world problems where they go, this guy's running for president. He's so out of touch. He doesn't know what a gallon of milk costs or a head of lettuce costs. That's because I'm rich, douche.
Right. That's the goal.
I'm fucking busy. And I have people I pay $11 an hour and go fetch all that shit and bring it back to the castle. Yeah. Like, do you want a guy who's going to run the country or whatever also just price checking at the Albertsons? And he's got his Ralph's Club card on him. And like,
all the keychains.
Of course he doesn't know. But astronauts don't know either. Like, you shouldn't know. I drink a lot of good beer. This isn't amongst the beers that I drink. It's a good problem.
It's not a sign of weakness.
Thank you.
It means you're good at hiring people.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
like for me, whenever people say, oh, that's a first world problem, I'm like, I also have cholera. Because that way they're like, they can't be like, that's a first world problem.
Right.
That's
good.
Right. All right. So we'll get the beers in here. We'll see if we can all tell the difference. We will tell you first about stamps.com. How about a New Year's resolution you can keep? Go to stamps.com and let's get your business and let's get it up and running using stamps.com. Save a ton of time, ton of money this year. Stamps.com. We use it here. It's a better way to get your postage. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, using your own computer and printer. Then the mailman picks it up. You just hand it off to him. You don't have to leave the house. They'll send you a digital scale to automatically calculate the exact postage. All the stuff we send out here, and we send out a lot of stuff, is all through stamps.com. So we're going to have a better new year. How do we do it? Go to stamps.com. They got a 4-week trial. You get the postage. You get the digital scale. No long-term commitments either. Go to stamps.com. Click the microphone. Top of the homepage. Type in Adam. That's stamps.com. Enter Adam. All right. So we have the A, B, and the C. I'm guessing there's a C in
yes.
here. Cup in front of us.
I got a triangle.
We're going to take sips off of all and see. And no proclamations, please. It'll pollute me. I have a palate cleanser, a little water here. So let's see.
Start with A. Start, ready to pick up A.
Starting with A.
I do feel like I can Pungent. Tell Miller Lite, because that's probably the one I would drink like on the Southwest flight.
Definitely has an aroma.
I get hammered on Southwest flights.
It's when you're 6'7", you better get liquored up on a Southwest flight.
Oh, yeah.
This is harder than I thought.
No, it's real. It's real bad.
Hey, as a guy, I'm 6'2", you're 6'7".
Yeah.
In terms of arguing with the wife, you know that thing where you do the move where you go, when I was in high school, I dislocated my ring finger, my throwing hand or whatever, and they go, I dislocated my knee and had a full, had to have a steel plate put in or whatever, and it's like they kind of one up.
Yeah.
When I talk to people that are under 5'7", and I'm 6'2", so you're 6'7", you must feel me, and I try to give them the, goddamn, man, flying Southwest is brutal when your knees are broken. They're like, I know. And it's like, you don't know because you have to be a foot taller than you to really feel it. And they're like, yeah, but the stewardess took a long time to come around. And it's like, none of this is as bad as having your knees mashed into the seat in front of you. Like the 6'7" on the Southwest, forget about service, forget about whether there's a line at the bathroom, whatever. When you're tall,
you're screwed.
That's an all-encompassing misery.
Yeah, for me, it's not the issue. It's not a class issue. Like, I didn't even get to say hi to Bono.
Right.
Like, for me, it's like I'm in pain, like a lot of pain.
The seats are just put it to you this way, because I've done like a Southwest, like cross country. Like, I've done like a 4 or 5 hour flight.
I broke a world record on Southwest for a company. I can't remember. It was like Lenovo.
Most complaining on a flight.
No, I took 4 flights a day.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, it was like a commercial thing that I was doing, and it was like, it was brutal.
Oh, that was you. That's right.
Yeah.
That's where I got there. But so imagine, here's what it's like for Owen. Imagine someone gets in your car, somebody takes the seat, moves it way too close to the steering wheel, and then Owen, you get behind the wheel of vehicle, and I say, now drive to San Francisco.
Right.
That's essentially what you have to do.
You know it's brutal when I want to sit next to a baby.
Yeah,
I'm like, yes, a baby. It's like the baby's screaming. It's like, it's fine. I won't get arthritis.
All right, I just had a hit off of B.
Oh, okay.
And Southwest is almost like a bus. It's like, yeah, we're going to stop in Sacramento to pick up Mike. It's they just stop in cities.
Mm. This was much harder than I thought. I thought I was going to be able to nail it right away, and without the can, or even we're drinking out of little red plastic cups, I think it tastes different.
I think I got mine.
So now,
sour.
My feeling, I feel like A is much further away than B and C are
I
to
agree.
Each other.
I feel A like was the only one I was sure about.
B and C feel like almost the same thing.
Okay. Owen, as the guest, do you have a guess?
I think I definitely know C.
All right.
A and B, bit of a dice roll.
Wait,
I should write down
what I went. Okay, I'm going to go.
Pen and
Oh, come on.
Well, you don't have to write them down. You can yell out, but hold on.
I'll write them down. I don't want to pollute.
Does Gina have beer, too?
Yeah.
Ooh. When's the last time you drank beer?
When I was with you in Royal Oak, Michigan.
That sounds about right.
All right.
I drink tons of beer.
Let's give it to us, Owen. What do you got?
I think C is Bud, B is Miller, and A is Coors.
Ooh.
Mm.
Okay.
I had A is Miller, just because I feel like
I
like Miller better. And then I couldn't tell the difference between Bud and Coors. So I just went Miller, Bud, Coors.
I went Miller, Coors, Bud.
I also went Miller Bud Coors, but I thought C was had the least amount of taste.
Well, Coors starts with a C, so.
Yeah, maybe it was psychological.
I went Coors, Bud, Miller.
We're all different?
Wait, Brian, what was yours again?
Miller was A, Coors, B, Bud, C was
all right,
guess.
I have the results. Adam, Brian, right? And Gina, you got them all completely wrong.
Oh, damn it.
Owen got them completely right.
Oh,
Coors, yeah. Miller, Bud. Big Bear knows his honey.
Yeah, Coors, Miller, Bud, Dawson just had Coors right.
I like the Coors the best.
What'd you say?
Who
you
knew?
Do?
Yeah.
I do too.
I like the Bud the best.
What was the correct ranking?
Coors, Miller, Bud.
So I got Bud right. I see his Bud.
Okay, congratulations.
Oh, my God, I wrote that wrong.
Yeah, but so.
So I mixed up Miller and Coors. So, oh, man.
I like Coors the best. There we go.
C tastes like almost nothing.
Yes, exactly.
I like Bud the best.
Tasteless.
I like C the best.
Yeah, like
B
C
is very
best.
Pungent. I like
little
A.
Light beer trivia. Bud Light is the only light beer with a higher alcohol content than its regular.
Really?
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Check Bud that. Light. I want to know what the two numbers
that,
are.
Put a little spice in that stew.
Can't tell.
I think the only reason I knew Bud was Bud because that's the one that is I drink most of the football games. So that's the only one that tasted it familiar.
Nice. All right.
Now we know.
What we should do is take ourselves a quick break, and then we will come back, and we'll get some news.
Nice.
Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
This is the first house I lived in L.A.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material.
See, the dirt lawn is going to be a reoccurring theme in tonight's show.
Live at the Kennedy Center this Friday night.
I told you my dad would turn into lead singer Boston at some point.
Not Taco Bell Material returns to Thunder Valley Casino Resort outside Sacramento on Friday, March 2nd.
And my mom would turn into Mo Howard from the Three Stooges.
And don't miss the live taping of Adam Carolla's Not Taco Bell Material. April 21st in downtown Santa Ana, California. Presented by Esports Arena.
I'll give the devil her due. My mom could cook. Nobody puts nothing on a potato like my mom.
Adam Carolla in D.C. at the Kennedy Center Friday night. Sacramento at Thunder Valley on March 2nd. And Santa Ana, April 21st.
Anybody could use the Mulholland Club if you were willing to scale a rocky cliff and jump a fence. Then you too could have a gold membership to the Mulholland Club.
Not Taco Bell Material. Learn more at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Philadelphia Eagles fans set fires in the streets, smashed store windows, and toppled traffic lights after they won the Super Bowl. I have some video to accompany this. Immediately after the Eagles defeated the New England Patriots to win their first Super Bowl, their fans flooded the streets in the city of brotherly love and left a big old mess to clean up the day after.
This is the most predictable.
Right now.
Most predictable riot.
Right now, they are rocky, trying to tip a what is that, like a Humvee over?
Yes, SUV.
I'll say the same thing to Philly fans as I say to Russians. You guys are the craziest white people on the planet. Yes. Now, you can be trumped, pardon the pun, by other folks from other nations, but in the blue-eyed department, you guys are off the charts, and I'd say that about the Philly fans
It makes
well.
Sense. And I have a Jesus, bunch of...
It's like World War Z.
Yeah, they're just like actual like eagles. Zombies. They're bald and loud.
I have friends from Minnesota that were saying they're going to destroy our city either way, whether they win or lose. So videos posted on social...
Oh, this is them in...
This is Philadelphia. Yeah. But Minnesota friends were like, either way, the city's screwed. After this, videos posted to social media shows van climbing up light poles, pulling down traffic lights, collapsing awnings at the Ritz-Carlton, and even eating horse poop on the street.
But this
that
is all
wanted.
Just...
he was going to do it anyway.
That guy wanted to eat horse poop. He was like, I just need an excuse, man. He's like, oh, no way, we won. Give me the horse poop in my mouth.
Do they... But they're just, it just means they're the drunkest and the worst drunks.
Right? But the Red Sox did that too when they beat the Yankees. Like, if a team isn't used to winning, they just freak out.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think.
Well, Philadelphia
police. I think they broke their own bell.
They estimate about 100,000 people were celebrating in the streets. Not yet known how many arrests were made or if there were any injury reports, but a lot of damage to property.
The idea that you, them greasing the poles. It's sort of us with our razor wire around the freeway signs. It's a bad sign for a community.
Yeah.
When you guys may win a game.
Measures.
Time to get out the Crisco because also.
Do they really do that?
They literally grease.
They
grease the poles.
Oh
like,
my God.
There's a lot you can tell by the sort of. Measures that are
the
taken.
The prep work. The prep work says a lot.
They literally grease. Poles. Hey, you would not. You'd have a hard time explaining that to the founding fathers because you'd go, "Well, simply tell them they're not allowed to do it." It's like,
decree it.
Right. It's like they cover. It's like covering light sockets with a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that's pretty much saying, like, I know you're going to shove your hand in a light socket.
We have
like
to protect you from yourself.
Yeah.
And remember that news story a couple years ago about that robot that was going to make a journey from coast to coast.
Oh, it was raped in Philadelphia.
Remember when they threw snowballs at Santa Claus?
Yeah. If they were smart, they wouldn't have destroyed the robot. They would have raped it and like sent it on its way.
Yeah, to Pittsburgh. Then,
The Santa, you know, the Santa Claus story is interesting.
They're salty over that. Don't bring it up to a
Dude, they fight in public. Like a couple will just start screaming at each other. And I'm like, it's like... You suck, Steve. You suck. I'm like, dude, you guys are in public right now. Like, they don't care in Philly.
I got to go to Philly.
The, yeah, maybe.
The
thing, my dad's from South Philly. God,
I love
scary.
Doing shows in Philly. Helium's a great club.
Philly. Yeah. So the Santa Claus. Santa Claus, the story with Santa Claus, because I just saw sports whatever on it. I don't know if you saw it, Brian.
I'm familiar with go ahead.
Yeah. They were going to have Santa like take a lap around the old field, and there was a big snowstorm or whatever, and Santa couldn't do it. But there's a guy who had season tickets who would show up around that time of year dressed as Santa.
Nice.
So they kind of pulled that guy out of the audience and told him to do a lap. And there's some speculation like he was drunk and he wasn't that good a Santa. But
whenever you give a Philly fan grief for this, like, you guys threw snowballs at Santa Claus, the response is always, he was a terrible Santa.
Yeah. He was an imposter.
Yeah, like, please never attend the Special Olympics. That kid was so far off the pace. He deserved, look, blind or not, he deserved the folding chair.
You call
it's
it a jump?
It's going to learn.
You call it a triple jump?
He's more like Saint Dick.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, first things first. You can't
so far.
You can't accuse Santa of being drunk if you threw a projectile, what they call a missile. If you threw something at Santa, you had to be definitely drunker than Santa.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're accusing Santa. It's not like you're sitting up there drinking a hibiscus tea and you chuck something at Santa because
he's
a little
Santa Claus.
He's a little wobbly.
Kris Kringle.
The guy interviewed who's still around. He said he wasn't drunk. He was just sitting in the stands. I asked him if they could do it. Maybe he didn't, his outfit wasn't fantastic. They like padded it up or whatever, and they took him on a lap and they threw snowballs.
He was waiting his whole life for that too. He's like, they finally need me. It was like a sports movie. Pull him off the bench.
Reverse Rudy.
Yeah,
but it is can we find the Time Life Books one where the Outlaw series made in genuine. It'd be a genuine simulated leather would be the thing would be bound. Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to have all these things on Time Life Books. Sure. Now presents a whole series, a Western series. This one on the gunslingers, and it goes. They'd go like, that's Sam Montana. He's so mean. He once shot a man just for snoring. And I always thought it was supposed to be funny, but if you were the dude who was shot for snoring, you'd be super pissed.
With sleep apnea. Yeah.
And everyone would be scared shitless to sleep with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like definitely a psychopath.
And you're definitely a psychopath if you shoot someone, presumably in your group. It's not like you wandered over posse. Another site and went, who's snoring over here?
It's like, he's so mean, he killed a kid. And you're like, did we put him in jail?
He's reprimanded.
So we need justice for this.
They do wax sort of nostalgic and poetic about throwing snowballs at Santa, but it's not great behavior. Oh, let's see if we can hear it. Let's see.
Somewhere in these Chiricahua Hills, no white man will ever know where, the Apaches buried Cochise, the greatest of their great chiefs. Geronimo faded into these hills, and it took 5,000 U.S. soldiers to bring him out. And now Time Life Books brings the great chiefs to life again as your introductory volume.
That would have been the most valuable possession that the Corollas had in the house, including the house.
It would have been passed down.
For the first time ever, you'll be able to see Geronimo's combat dagger and Colt 45.
Picture
look into the eyes of Sitting Bull, the man who destroyed Custer. Quanah Parker, the fierce Comanche whose mother was a captured farm girl, and all the great chiefs. Eyewitness accounts and rare photographs and art bring the Old West to life. You'll meet the gunfighters. Men like John Wesley Hardin, so mean he once shot a man just for snoring.
Oh, so he's a murderer.
Also, his mother was a captured farm girl. That implies many horrible things.
Yeah.
Many horrible things happened to that poor woman.
All right, you can turn now.
They're pretty aloof about a lot of felonies.
A captured farm girl.
Also, mean is when you're at a Costco and it's Saturday and people are waiting for a parking spot and you're leaving, but you're going to text before you back out for about 2 minutes. That's mean. Shooting someone when they're asleep.
That's monstrous. That's,
I think it transcends mean.
Yeah. No, that's a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was almost like a brag.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like he's an all-league football player. They're like, yeah, he shot a sleeping man. He's legit.
My childhood was so miserable that there was no chance that we're ever going to get these books. These books were like, take one, examine it, send it back. If you don't like it, if you do like it, we'll send you one every month for, you know, the next 28 years. And I remember like sitting there and I remember going, well, we're never going to have these books in my house, but I get to look at pictures on the TV of the book.
Oh, God.
And that's not too shabby.
That's pretty
not
good.
Too so shabby. Sad.
See, we had all the books and no TV. That was
us. Oh, wow. You guys were artists, right?
Yeah. And, you know, professors don't make any money, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. So we were like poor, but like a lot of hope.
But learned.
Yeah. It was like we would get all the books, but we never had, I didn't have new clothes till I went to college. Like, never once. We used to collect cans, put me in a dumpster.
We have an update on Bud Light from Dawson.
Yeah. I cannot find one piece of evidence to support my claim.
That's why I asked you to look for it. I didn't call you a dummy. I didn't say I don't believe you. I just said, get me the numbers.
That's weird. It makes me wonder. Like, somebody who told me that a long time ago, I totally trusted.
I never
looked it up, and it stuck with me for about 5-6 years now.
Right.
I'm going to
start a
moment.
Fight when I get home.
Now let's think about all the other things in the galaxy of information that was passed down to you that might possibly be inaccurate.
It's a big life-changing moment.
It is, because I didn't think any light had any more than any regular.
Yeah, that's.
But I just said look it up. So what is
I believed it immediately.
It looks like it's standard across the board. All the regular beers are 5%, and all the lights are 4.2.
There you go.
Wow.
All right. Sorry. Where were we, Gina Grant?
Well, the commercials during Super Bowl 52 got almost as much attention as the game, which they often do. 30-second spots were selling for around $4.5 million apiece, according to CNBC, with some of the ones receiving the most fanfare being, I have a list here of some of the most popular, and we have the links. You tell me which ones if you want to see any of them.
I just remember looking up at the first one, and they had, you know, the and your music playing and the woman who was born with no legs. And I was like, can we have a little break? Can
not
we just,
out of the gate.
I never thought I'd say this. I miss Puppy Monkey Baby.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like, just give me a good give me a good Mountain Dew commercial. Like, I don't need to be inspired every tenth of a second. I just want to...
You're right.
It's like Ram Truck. What are you thinking? You think what I'm thinking? Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
Well, Mountain Dew didn't disappoint, at least for the party I was at. And the numbers were big. The Peter Dinklage, Morgan Freeman, Doritos versus Mountain Dew rap battle. Did you see that one?
You know, I...
Busta Rhymes versus Missy Elliott.
Gotta tell you, I had a couple of IPAs and was sort of standing by the barbecue. Jimmy smoked wings.
Oh, God.
And drumettes.
Strong.
He smoked them at home. And then he cooked them at the shop, and
God bless that man.
Just found myself standing there a lot, just sucking it up. Yeah,
on it.
Man, mm-hmm. There's a video of the wings.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
we're looking at a video of Jimmy's cooked wings.
Roll them up, crisp them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They Instagram the entire process. Too. Smoke them, grill them. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Roll them up, crisp them up.
Damn,
yeah, I also felt bad because I provided the grill, but I realized I didn't have tongs. I didn't have the accoutrements.
Oh. You had a spork?
I didn't have anything. At some point, somebody supplied Jimmy with some like plastic salad tongs, and he put it on it, and it promptly snapped.
Yeah.
It just snapped. It's like pop. And I was like, well, I feel bad.
Tongs are the best kitchen utensil. Well, the other big ones were Alexa losing her voice. So her voice was replaced by Chef Gordon Ramsay, Anthony Hopkins, Rebel Wilson. Danny DeVito became a human Eminem. David Harbour from Stranger Things did a Tide ad that spoofed every genre of commercial that there is. And the one that was also getting a lot of attention and shared most on Facebook, Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. recreating the final dance scene from Dirty Dancing was a fun and festive one.
I did see that one, too. One. Yeah.
But there was one that caught my eye.
I sadly was standing next to Nick Santora during that whole thing. He was a big Giants fan. And all he did was, like, he was drunk and like yelling, hey, a little less practice on the dance floor. You wouldn't go 3-13. You wouldn't go 3-13 if you were wearing your Roomba over there.
Dancing.
Yeah, right. Like, there was a lot. I was standing right next to him. That any hardcore Giants fans would be disgusted by that display of homosexuality with a team that went under 500.
Yeah.
I didn't like it at all.
Well, one of the most bizarre commercials, at least in my opinion, I thought you gentlemen would have an opinion on it. It showed babies.
I hated that one.
Yeah, I thought you might.
I freaked out.
Of different races, featuring a music box version of Nirvana's All Apologies playing in the background. I'm not going to tell you who it's for because you'd never figure it out, but here's the commercial.
Welcome to the world, little ones.
Dystopia.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
Communism.
But you come with open minds and the instinct that
these are all
we are
glowing and they drive me nuts because I think all they're trying to do is capture some feeling that they don't feel.
And be threatened by them.
Oh, threatened.
Oh, God.
Wait till you see who's behind it.
You are unstoppable.
Not necessarily.
No, you'll be stopped.
You'll be stopped by the hands of time.
You'll love who you want. You'll demand fair and equal pay. You will not allow where you come from to dictate where you're going.
A whole pile of douchebags.
You will be heard, not dismissed. You will be connected, not alone. Change starts now.
Are you with us?
T-Mobile.
All right. But T-Mobile doesn't give a shit about women and women's rights or ethnicities or anything. They just want you to think that way. I can't stand it.
Yeah, their board of directors and all their management are all white, and there's like two chicks.
Yeah.
I looked it up. 'Cause that bothered me a lot.
I hate I can't stand any preachy, and the worst preachy is the companies, the big corporations just try to land on preachy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, they should learn. Like, remember... There was that whole Kardashian Pepsi thing a year ago.
Oh, with,
she was going to stop Antifa from going against the Nazi Klan group over there with the Pepsi, and everyone just turned on her.
Yep.
We need to turn on everyone who tries to stop Nazis.
There you go.
That's my new plan.
That's a good
one. I was watching Justin Timberlake. He was doing a thing where he's like running upstairs, but I wasn't really hearing him breathe or anything.
And you wouldn't.
But then he would grab the mic and yell, come on now. And then so what I landed on is he has a hot mic. He can yell, come on your feet into the hot mic. the music is playing. Dawson's going to have some thoughts about this, but now everything's questionable with Dawson now. We don't know who to believe anymore.
True.
Could have been told by the same dude who told him that Bud Light.
And did you also know?
But is it this? And you guys all tell me, because I'm super naive in this department. I assume they play the song. I assume he has a hot mic. I assume he can sing with as much of it or as little as he wants. And he can certainly yell, come on, and on your feet. So it's certainly it's got a hot mic on him. But does he sing over himself at all? Does he do certain parts and then not do the part where he's running up the stairs? Like, how does all this work?
I thought he's just lip syncing until he wants to give DJ Khaled style directives.
Yeah. That was my second thought after. So it would be too much for a sound engineer to be on it and be anticipating when he's going to actually say something.
I feel like it's just hot.
My guess is he has a toggle switch or something for when he actually wants to say something into the mic.
Yeah, he's like,
Chris says
Steph.
No. Chris, I think made a face.
Well, I know for a fact, like, musicians, like, they even pre-record drum tracks, and they're not even really playing the drums. It's like a silent drum kit, and it's all pre-recorded. And I think he's singing to a pre-recorded vocal track, but he just kind of sings over it to thicken it up.
Yeah, it felt the thing that made the most sense. Well, Justin Timberlake wouldn't want to go, I'm lip syncing.
It would sound double-tracked.
Well,
not necessarily.
I feel like I thought the way you thought, and then I thought I was right. No, I thought he's not going to want to go just hit record or hit play and I'll lip sync the entire thing. On the other hand, if we completely cut out this bass that you have of you and the mixing and everything like that, we'd hear you breathing or you'd come off, you'd hit a bad note or whatever. But if you sung over you, you could say I'm doing it live.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd give us a little layer of authenticity to it. But yeah, they'd have to mix it up, right?
And pot it way down, right? Pot the live version way down.
Well, I mean, first of all, in a show this big, they're always playing to some kind of click track. There's a countdown that starts 59 minutes before the, you know, whatever. And you're on this clock. And all of your video and your underlying music bed is all tied to this clock. So it has to be on time. I think, and I always look at this very, very closely just to see who is lip syncing and who is not. I'm kind of with Chris on this. He had a live mic the whole time, absolutely. I believe he was singing over his own vocal track. The thing I was curious about is that big band on the stage.
The marching band?
No. The big band.
Oh.
On stage, right.
Yeah. The bass player, at least, you know, he ended a song. It really looked like he was playing. So I think that if there was a backing vocal, it was negligible at best, so that he could back away from the mic. And if he missed a part he was singing over, because you heard his voice.
Well, there's a part at the end where I feel like he dropped the mic down and it kind
of
kept going. But
yeah.
So there was a vocal track on it that he was singing over. It was about 6 dB lower than the rest of the track, so that you couldn't tell.
Lynette says it was 4.7, but all right.
It could have been.
I'm going to do that with stand-up.
That would be my
and
best
And someone
guess.
Heckles me and my jokes just keep going as I'm dealing with a heckler.
I like that. I love that.
Oh,
all right.
And by the way, they were apparently people were sort of worried or quote-unquote worried, but curious as to whether or not there was going to be a Prince hologram, because that was sort of in the works. Mm-hmm. But then I just read today that Justin Timberlake nixed it because Sheila E. told him he was so anti all that crap. He would have hated it. Please don't do it. And so instead they just projected an image of Prince, you know, in purple rain.
Why should we believe Sheila E.? Maybe she was the same one who told Dawson so many years ago about the Bud Light versus the regular Bud.
It's not 4.2. 5-0.
That's true.
Don't anyone listen to Sheila E. about anything, especially concerning holograms.
Not since Glamorous.
Why? Life. Wait a minute. Prince is... I can't figure out what Prince is for and against, because he's wearing heels and purple and flares.
I had seen that he was against the whole playing with dead artists.
Thing. Yeah,
you can't predict Prince, though.
He would never allow any of his stuff on YouTube, Spotify maybe too. You know, he really, really wanted to control everything. And I think that having an image of him after he's dead being used in the Super Bowl would go against
so
that.
So there was a big projection, right, of Prince?
Yeah, I think it was a scene during Purple Rain.
Okay. All right, but not the hologram.
Not the hologram.
And they were giving Timberlake crap because he at one point made fun of Prince, did you guys see that?
I
don't see anything wrong with making fun of people. I don't think that means you don't like people. I think that's fine. I don't trust people that don't make fun of me.
Yeah.
Well said.
Speaking of which, do your read. We got some sports ball treats to go over.
Oh, interesting. All right. First, I'll tell you about True Car. MSRP, man, you might know what it stands for, but what does it really mean? Same thing goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's all very confusing. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. You lock it in. Around Chris Maxpata did that with his Prius. 200? 400. How many miles? 200.
200.
200 miles on that. It was used, but 200 miles. Come on now. So you go to True Car. The True Price is a great price because True Car shows what other people paid for the exact same car you want. Certified dealers set their price competitively so they can win your business. So whether you're going new, whether you're going used, it's got to be True Car. Visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you don't live in one. That's True Car. So, Brian,
yes, sir,
had a sports ball.
So, tweets. Yeah, for the last couple years, every on Super Bowl Sunday, people, I tweet about it, and I like to laugh at the hipsters, the too cool for schools, who tweet like, "Is there a game today? Or is there some sort of sporting event today? Or go sports ball, score the home runs." I hate those fucking tweets. They're incredibly unoriginal. You
in
see
my
them
defense,
he had a couple of Bud Lights, which, as you know, is a higher alcohol content.
Yes.
It's incredibly original. It comes around every year, and yet there they are every year from the same nerds and the same hipsters every year. You know, they're coming like clockwork, and people tweet them to me, and I retweet them. We have fun. And this year I decided, let's make this a little bigger. Let's you tweet me your sports ball tweets that you see. You retweet them to me. A blue check mark only. I'm not going to make fun of, you know, people.
You're not going to punch down.
Yeah. The people that need a little ribbing, we'll give it to them. And people really took to it. I got some really good sports ball tweets sent to. Sports ball is like, oh, go sports ball. Score
get the points.
Yeah, get the home runs.
Do the thing.
Yeah, right. So I named a few runners up, and these are all verified accounts and people who say things like, "I'm back. Did somebody win the big sports ball thing yet?" These are all typical tweets. And just to show that I wasn't a jerk, I'm like, whoever I declare the winner, the biggest, best sports ball tweet of the day, I'll donate $100 to their favorite charity because I don't want to seem like I'm a total asshole. So we got a few good ones. But the winner... The winner is from a guy who is ironically a Twitch streamer, which I had to look up. That's someone who streams their like online video game playing. So that's kind of an athlete in a sense. I mean, they're doing competition in a sense. Mm-hmm. And he says, Elohim Twitch says, "I hear today is the Super Bowl ball. While I don't watch much sports myself, I wish you all a safe day of football filled with more goals and home runs, one word, than you could ever have imagined. After three periods, win or lose, I know you'll all just have a good time watching. Go sports!" All capital letters.
So you reached out to him.
I did.
Notified him as the winner.
Congratulations, you're the winner. And he's like, "Oh, donate to St. Jude." And so I did it earlier today. I gave $100 to St.
Cool.
Jude.
That was nice.
That was very nice.
Yeah, I like the other one.
I'm not just trying to make fun. I'm like, oh, it's supposed to be kind of a celebration of people who are hipsters.
I like the other one. Marginally better, the millionaires running around.
Oh,
doing
that.
When they involve the millionaire part, I love that.
I like the one that was a little more fun in spirit, but yes, someone, Mark Dice, did say, "I feel," this was the nice judgmental, like shitty sports ball tweet. Mm-hmm. "I feel sorry for people whose only form of entertainment on the weekends is watching a bunch of millionaires chase after a little ball on a grass field, trying to score some points. Hashtag, this was the best. Hashtag, Super Bowl Sunday." He used the actual hashtag. He's shitting on the Super Bowl, and then he uses the actual hashtag.
More people see it that way.
That's true.
I love that you donated to a charity, and the winner got to choose, which is amazing. I feel like I had the exact opposite experience yesterday. My girlfriend of mine said, "Hey, there's some party in the Hollywood Hills. My friend invited us. Do you want to go?" Okay. So we all showed up, you know, in our t-shirts and plaid and, you know, jeans. And the girl, there were 70% ladies at this house. Those are us.
Ow!
And we're the old women in jeans and t-shirts. It was all. Thank you. It was all Daisy Dukes, boob jobs, anal cleft, which is a thing.
And this is the picture you had to look at?
No, keep scrolling. Thigh-high boots, big anal, like hair extensions.
What's an anal cleft?
That's that song from The Sound of Music.
Every morning you greet me.
That's below the bass clef.
Anal cleft. keep going. There's another one that's a little clearer. There's a couple pictures. But this house was a crazy mansion, mostly chicks. Some dudes, you know, kind of packed inside, but some dudes watching sports ball inside. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's some. Every girl was just outside taking selfies against the view, being like, you know, pretending it was their house. And it was this gorgeous house. Oh, that dude. Yeah, I thought you'd like his fanny pack. It was just this crazy party. But my favorite part, I sent a video. People were watching. You know, people were definitely, you know, watching the game. But when the place got packed and the energy was crazy and people were really feeling it, was during the halftime show because there were so many girls there. So This was not during the game. This is during halftime.
That's another sports ball thing is people like, oh, there's a football game going on the Justin Timberlake concert today.
The girls were cheering, clapping inside the house, singing along, dancing. And then once the game started, people cleared out a little bit. But it was a beautiful party and really, really fun.
Good for you and all for the girls who enjoyed the Timberlake concert and everything. And maybe you're not so into football. You're allowed to not be into football. You're not allowed to not be into sports. But don't pretend to be a nerd who like loves pop culture and then conveniently ignore the biggest pop culture event of the year, 100 times bigger than your fucking Comic-Con, which we have to fucking listen to you go on and on about. This is the one event that everyone watches and everyone talks about, whether it's commercials or Justin fucking Timberlake or the game. Don't pretend like you're too cool for it.
Yeah, you could be snarky about anything.
Yeah, but sassy,
like you could be like,
Brian.
Oh, life with your 1.4 billion heartbeats and then oblivion, you know?
Well, and
you can be snarky about anything.
And to piggyback on what Brian said, the girls there, like I said, were like video vixens. And there was probably a time in my life where I would have hated on them and made jokes. I looked at those girls and I said, you were told you were going to some party in the Hollywood Hills and girl, you got
you
up early,
up.
You put your hair in, you got your nails done, you look great, good for you. Good, no, seriously, I showed up like an asshole in a t-shirt and jeans and you put time into this, so God bless you.
I watch sports with really angry dudes.
Very different.
Yeah, pissed.
It's good to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, you have to watch... You have to watch Eli and not Cruz. But,
Odell Beckham.
You have to stand next to Nick Santoro while those guys do a commercial where they dance together to really feel the New York seething anger come from Nick Santoro.
This is fantastic.
Touchdown pass.
Yeah, like Nick said, what could you score one of those during the season?
Shot for shot. Shot for shot.
Like you could be doing squats right now.
Yeah. No, I had to take one of Jimmy's wings, show it to Nick, and then throw it in the corner of the warehouse just to get him to stop cussing in front of the kids. He chased after it. He found it, slid under one of the cars, but he got to it. All right.
Who's the other guy? I don't know if you we didn't see it, but the guy who's commenting on the side.
Don't remember.
There was some controversy as to who that was. But anyway, you want to do one more?
One more.
All right. Well, Ronda Rousey has given up the UFC octagon for the pro wrestling ring.
Nice.
Rousey made a surprise visit on WWE's Royal Rumble pay-per-view special following the final fight in the 30 women tournament. Rousey jumped in the ring. The crowd in Philly went berserk, shocking enough. She shook the hand of Commissioner Stephanie McMahon to make her arrival to the WWE official. She'll turn full time to pro wrestling. Her first match could be as early as April. There's talk of a second appearance at a SmackDown, a Monday Night Raw.
I would have no. This is one of those things. It's sort of like trying a food. You know, like if you were to give me a prototype can of Mountain Dew in 1961, and I took a hit off it. I went, no one's ever going to buy this.
Yeah,
like, we got 7-Up, we got Coke, we got Sprite.
We don't
need this. Like I would have had, but if I would have heard the song Man Eater by Hall & Oates, I would have said, please don't record. That's not recording.
Don't unleash this.
I was like that with Netflix. I was like, this is not going.
This is never going to work. And if you would have said to me, oh, it's going to be fake sporting wrestling thing, and then the people like they'll. Dennis Rodman will like go into it. I'd go, nobody's interested. We watch sports. We watch the Super Bowl because we didn't know what was going to happen. And these guys are leading on her working stuff out. Like I get it that it's that big, but I would think there would be no appeal. Like, I don't know, women, young women, who
doesn't add up.
It's the drama of it.
The Superdome is sold out.
Yeah, no, it's like watching live Shakespeare. You know that's not really Hamlet. That's just a dude.
What?
You know they already know how it's going to end.
Yeah, it's like he's getting stabbed.
I'm not going to argue with it. It's just if you would have asked me, yeah, I would have went like, nobody's going to be into this. We have all... first question would be like, wait a minute, do we have UFC anymore? Yeah. And like, oh yeah, that's still going fine. Oh, then we'll watch that. People are going to watch that. They're going to watch this. Yeah. They love it.
You want steaks.
What happened to kickboxing?
Kickboxing was never... Okay.
More of an existential question.
I have a personal connection to this because my dad was a sports announcer, and I remember when he was announcing kickboxing, and we'd go to New York with him, and we'd get to watch him do it, and it never really went anywhere.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. And then that's all I'll say about kickboxing. Now, it was called the sport of the future.
Sport of the future. According to Lloyd Dobler.
Yep. That's right.
Sport of the future.
I think, a couple things. One is anybody who could really throw a punch would go into boxing because that's where the paydays were. These guys were getting, $500 a match versus $5 million a match if you get a super match going with, Sugar Ray Leonard or whatever it is. So, and whenever you have a sport where it's like, hey, if the guy's really good at this, he's not here.
Right.
That's problem number one. Like, they go somewhere else. Like, UFC guys are great, but there's not a guy that's so dominant with his hands that we saw with Floyd Mayweather, where it could just go make Floyd Mayweather money without getting kicked in the shin constantly. So there's an element of, he was really good at this, probably wouldn't
be
here.
We just do that.
Number two, they made a rule in kickboxing that sort of said, you've got to throw at least 5 kicks around, which means people just didn't want to kick. They wanted to punch and knock the guy out and not kick. So anytime you make a sport that says kick and then no one wants to do it, and then you make mandate that you have to throw at least 5 of these things that our sport is named after, then that's kind of a bad sign. The other thing is, boxing needs to take place in a boxing ring and UFC in an octagon. When you just take the other sport and you move it into the old ring, it seems weird. It seems like it's the wrong venue. Right. Like every once in a while when you see, it bothers me to watch like soccer played on a football field or football played on a soccer field and the lines are marked for something else. Right. There's like other rules and stuff like that. So it had that. And then the UFC came around, and people were like, well, this is much better. The kickboxing became neither fish nor fowl. I still don't really know what that means, but it was in between. It was like, we either want to watch boxing or we want to watch guys throwing knees.
Right.
We just don't want this in-between thing, which is a sort of more boring version of boxing. Although, you can look up Superfoot.
Excuse me.
Superfoot.
God, worst Marvel movie ever.
Was it Nelson or something? There is a story about. I'll figure the guy Superfoot. This guy's more man than we could ever dream of.
It's a sequel to My Left Foot.
It is Bill Wallace. Yeah, Bill Superfoot Wallace. Bill Superfoot Wallace stepped on a landmine in Vietnam or something and screwed up his one foot badly.
I'll say.
So thus, he only kicked with his other foot, but he like overcompensated so much that he became a champion with just a one foot.
Wow.
Yes. Bill Superfoot Wallace. And by the way, that's on his birth certificate. So this is a crazy coincidence.
It's destined.
It's an insane coincidence.
Prophecy.
Yeah. You got to look up his story. He may be Canadian.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah, Bill Superfoot Wallace, how he became the world's greatest kickboxer for 50 years. He's also one of these dudes, the scariest dudes in the world are not the guys that shave all their body hair, but it's the guys that are crazy muscular and hairy.
Yeah, still
Russians.
Have the hair,
yeah. Yeah, it's like
Russians are
like,
super scary.
We see those guys' forearms that look like they're exploding, like there's so much muscle, but it's also covered with hair.
Yeah.
That's the crime.
They're like a little
fat. Those are the Israeli guys. Yeah. They're scary. Yeah. Yeah, fat but hard fat.
Exactly.
Not gushy fat.
Yep.
Yeah. What was the story? You tell me. He was, he was American but born in India?
Indiana,
sorry.
Yeah,
born in Indiana.
Sorry.
What was his story? How did he injure his foot?
Do your read and look it up.
What was that? We'll look it up, and I'll tell you about Simply Safe. I've worked with them since they had 10 employees, and now They're protecting over 2 million people. Exciting news. They just released their brand new home security system, the all new Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Smaller, faster, stronger than ever before. Batteries last up to 10 years. Completely rebuilt, redesigned. New safeguards against power outages, downed Wi-Fi. Some Philly fan gets up on the telephone pole and knocks it down. It'll cut your landlines. It'll take bats, hammers. You'll name it, Superfoot, kick it. It will withstand whatever you can throw at it. First security system I'd call beautiful, yes. So check it out. Still get the 24/7 protection for only $15 a month and no long-term contracts, no contract at all. Let's go to Simply, and supplies are limited. So visit simplysafe.com/Adam, simplysafe.com/Adam. Get a break on your renter's insurance. Simply Safe, two eyes in there, simplysafe.com/Adam. Bill Superfoot Wallace.
All right, so there's nothing about him like hurting his foot in a military incident or anything like that. He's 23-0 from 74 to 1980. He's known for his fast left leg kicks, because which clocked in about 60 miles per hour. He used his left leg because of a judo-related injury to his right knee.
Oh, a judo injury.
So
he injured his other leg.
Right.
So he judo just, in Vietnam?
Yeah.
Didn't say anything about that, but his right leg was primarily the base.
I got Rocky Blyer and Superfoot mixed up.
Yeah, I didn't want to say
yeah,
anything.
But yeah, I shouldn't have said in Vietnam, but I knew he injured one leg and he couldn't use it very well, so he used
yeah, so his
he
left
fought
leg
with one
was
leg.
The super foot, I guess. And also loss of one testicle during a point fighting tournament when his protective cup was struck at an unfortunate angle.
No! That's why I never wore cups.
But yeah. Interesting is he was a personal trainer and close friend of both Elvis and John Belushi.
What?
Great
and
job.
He's the one that found
great drug advice.
Yeah.
He's the one that found John Belushi dead.
Wow. Yeah. This is so random.
In the movie, like his final kick is with the right foot.
Yeah.
You know, like no one's expecting it.
He once kicked a man just for snoring.
You probably didn't do that.
Yeah, like Roadhouse got me and my friends really into kicking each other for a while. I think if there were more of those movies, we'd still be kicking.
Yeah.
And it hurts to get kicked, man.
You want to watch the ultimate kicking movie, you got to watch Billy Jack.
I've never seen it.
Oh, Billy Jack was so into kicking that when he saw townsfolk like coming at him for the big square off in the park,
yeah,
he'd take his shoes off.
Whoa.
That was a badass. Time. It was kicking time.
Kicking time.
He'd kick his shoes off.
Yeah.
That was bad.
He wanted to
your
feel
warning.
It. Shoes are the condom of the foot when you're kicking.
Yeah. Oh, here it was.
Well, it doesn't look to me like I really have any choice. Now, does it?
And he'd kick guys in slow motion.
That's right, you don't. You know what I think?
I'm going to do? I'm about to kick really? You in the face.
Oh!
Oh!
That's a big target, too.
He went
big
down hard.
Wow. Yeah.
By the way,
impressive kick in the face.
Like, so the cutaway is the old guy.
Caressing his own cheek.
60-year-old man, like, as though he had got a mosquito bite on his cheek. He's like, ooh, that's smart.
Just seeing, oh, that was a close shave.
Just look at his jaw.
He'd probably done some acting in the silent era, because I was like 71, so this guy. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the last thing you expect when you're just
face-to-face
with a guy.
You got to watch the whole movie because you give you some context. In the movie, that guy was just telling him he left the lights on in his Jeep. And Billy was such a badass that you really couldn't tell him anything. You know, even if
it was helping him.
He didn't want his battery to go bad, but Billy didn't care for that kind of information.
It's same with Roadhouse. Like, this guy just beats up all the town folk. Like, if you go back and watch it, like, Swayze's the bad guy.
Oh, well, the ultimate ass kicker. I don't want to be a one-upper in the ass kicking department.
No, totally.
I mean, but Billy Jack did, as you can tell. That was an elderly gentleman who just went to tell him the lights were on in his Jeep. So if he can kick him, he'd kick
anybody.
He then, in that park scene, 80 guys around him, and he kicked every single one of them.
In the face.
But the ultimate guy who would do all the kicking would be Kung Fu with David Carradine.
Kane.
Oh, wow.
Kane would travel to a new town. Every episode was him. He'd play like the pan flute and he'd walk into a new town. And every new town he'd walk into, he would just stop at the like saloon and he'd come in and he'd go, I have had a long journey. May I have some water? And they'd go, get out of here, yellow man. We don't like your kind. And he'd go, I want no trouble. Well, you found it. So you better start walking. And you go, excuse me, I will leave, which is fine. But at some point, he beat the shit out of everybody.
Everybody.
And it was like, for a guy who doesn't want trouble.
He
like,
often finds himself
it's
in
like
trouble.
Murder, She Wrote. Murder, She Wrote. Like, clearly, Angela Lansbury was a serial killer.
Yes, because there's no way you could just walk into this many towns and explain you want no trouble and start heading for the door with... You would make it to the door once without having to beat up everyone in the saloon.
Yeah, and then so eventually you just stay in the town. Where it's like every new town, I have to beat everyone to death.
Yeah.
I'll just stay here.
I think the word got out here that I could stay here and not be hassled. Sorry, do we have Billy beating up everyone at the park? You got to watch Billy Jack.
Yeah, Murder, She Wrote, she killed 250 people. Oh, there we go.
Shoes off, by the way. He's rubbing his cheek like he's putting aftershave on.
Two at the same time. Karate chop.
Kick. It does like a running scissor at some point.
A flying jump.
Look, again, nobody loves Roadhouse like the Ace Man, but Billy Jack, a lot of kicking action.
Yeah, Billy Jack.
A lot of kicking
action. Billy Jack's huge. I can't wait to watch it.
You got to watch it.
I'm going to take my shoes off when I watch it.
You should.
In honor.
Yep. All right. Live shows everywhere. Just go to AdamCarolla.com if you like. And check out the podcast Masterclass. That's up at CarollaClass.com. Everything you know. Need to know about podcasting. Valentine's Day Rescue. We're going to take some phone calls for tomorrow's show. Yes, Max Zapata?
You had a bad date. Find yourself in the doghouse.
Let's hear it. We'll get you. Yeah.
Give the advice you need.
5 p.m. Eastern today as you hear this. Call 877-564-2326.
Or just bad date stories.
Sure. Yeah. We'll take them all. Feed the Bear is the name of the special, available now on Owen Benjamin's website. Huge Pianist.
Yes.
.com is where you go, and there's live shows going on, and you can shoot him a tweet at Owen Benjamin as well. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Owen Benjamin and Joe Coy and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
Monchichi, 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 Monchichi. That's you.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a thumbs up on Facebook and follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Voicemail, leave us one, 888-634-1744. The Ace Man's live in D.C. this Friday night and at Thundercat Valley Casino in Sacramento, March 2nd. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, manager events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.